Well, this conference will.
And we've done this. We've done a call that talked about Vince Pocenti. And if you actually saw me, I've done his presentation now twice. I did it at the Lubbock Regional, and I actually did it on the Saturday training we had here, Dallas training. And the Saturday training? Oh, okay. And the Saturday training that I did, because Dallas area has monthly trainings. A lot of you are familiar with them. Manitech broadcast the last two. And the last one we did, they actually posted on Manitech Live. So you can go back and look at what is a typical 9:30 to 1 o'clock or 1:30 training look like at Manitech for the Dallas area Manitech Association. Anyway, so I did Vince Pocenti's little spiel about speed skiing and all that kind of stuff. It is kind of humorous, but Kevin Robbins, he was so cute. At the end of that training, he looked at me, he got up on stage, he goes, you know, Mary Jo's one of our best trainers we have in Manitech, but I think that's actually the best training I've ever seen her do. It was really funny. And I thought, maybe because it was so entertaining, you know. And Vince Pocenti really knocked my socks off when I saw him at the National Conference of Professional Network Marketers. So I just loved his material. I loved what he was saying. I loved it. Not that he brought anything new for me, but I love the way he brought across the concepts. So I think they're much easier to understand, which is why I wanted to bring them back to you again today, because I read his book over the last few days, and it's called The Ant and the Elephant, Leadership for the Self. Leadership. It's a parable and five-step action plan to transform workplace performance, which means for us, yes, it's kind of drafted in a way that touches employment situations if you're a leader in a job area, but there's unquestionably the application to network marketing, to you and to me as leaders in network marketing. And so I started that off. The first introduction that I put on the outline was really the premise for which we all stand, which is the concept that before any one of us can reach our full potential as a leader, we must first be a leader to ourselves. We need to capitalize on innate talents and strengths, challenges that hinder our growth, and manage the fears and negative emotions that frequently keep us from realizing our goals. If we don't do that first, we never, ever can step into leadership for other people. So the concept is take care of the home front first and then venture out and support others in their directions. So what are we doing to capitalize on our own innate talents and strengths? What are we doing to not allow the fears and negative emotions that stop us? How are we overcoming those? Have we truly found mechanisms to make that work? Because if we're not, or maybe you can say, well, I never have fears or negative emotions. Well, you know what? And some of that was somewhat true about Mary Jo when I was going forward, because I always kind of viewed myself as kind of fearless out there. But the idea is that if I don't understand it and I don't understand how it works in people's lives, I'm never going to be able to coach people away from it, right? So even if it's not part of my makeup per se, I need to understand it. I need to be able to see it. I need to be able to understand how to manage those fears. I need to understand the negative emotions that come in. And trust me, I definitely had those. I mean, I can tell you when I first started doing Manitech how many times I tried to talk myself out of it. And I just, for me, it was thank the Lord that he put me in Manitech, because if I wouldn't have had that driving force, feeling like he really was telling me to do this, I don't know that I would have stayed in there. Because I didn't have a big why. You know, we look at what is your why? What is that driving force? I didn't really have a big why up front. I mean, my big why was the Lord gave me my dad back. Follow me? I mean, it was so big that he was indicating to me that there was something there that he wanted me to do. So my why, I mean, you can say I didn't have a big why. I guess that's the biggest why you can have is be obedient, right? So that's how you, but from the perspective of how we usually talk about whys out there, you know, we talk about people building a why around what is it that you want in life? What's your goal and direction? I didn't see anything like that in the early stages of Manitech. I was just doing what I felt the Lord told me to do in my life. And that was enough to keep me sustained. Though the business really was almost too much for me in terms of just trying to figure out how to be successful, especially the first, I think I talked to people about the first 6 months or 4 months or something, and it was treacherous. But it was just, you know, having that vision in my head of this is what the Lord wants me to doing. I know He's going to care for me. I know He's going to, He's my provider. It was the ability to surrender and allow Lord be my provider. That was my walk. That was my perspective early on. Even my husband was looking at me and saying, "What are you crazy? When are you going to get a real job?" You know, I went through a lot of, I wouldn't say it's abuse, but it is. I mean, people would call that psychological abuse. My husband wasn't, effervescent about it because he knew I had enough talents that whatever it was I chose to do would work out. But he, you know, he did throw a few barbs out there here and there. So we go through a lot of that. But how do we need to learn as leaders how to overcome those, how to overcome challenges, how to deal with negative emotions. How many of you on this call today have had some negative emotions about your Manatech business? Oh, my gosh. We all have questions. We have doubts. We doubt ourselves. We doubt the company. We doubt about the only thing I haven't never doubted is the products, because I've seen the products work in so many ways. In fact, on my Thursday night call with my team, I have a team call just for my own organization. It's one of the things I do exclusively for my own downline, is we have a team call every Thursday night. And you know, we shared some of the things that were happening out there in our organizations with the results from different products. And so, I mean, I'm honestly going to tell you, there's one thing that's never changed in this business from the day I started, how many years now, 15 years ago, to today. The changes in people's lives are still gigantic. The impact these products have on people's lives are huge. So as long as those impacts are happening every single day, what's going to stop me from sharing this with people? I mean, nothing's going to stop. So there are still massive impacts out there. So that's leading, guiding, directing us. That helps build momentum. And, of course, in the past, we got to share those all the time and make brochures and put out flyers and have team calls and discuss, you know. But now we have a compliance issue around that. So we don't get as much of that. But it shouldn't change our belief system or the knowledge that we all have that those testimonials are still happening every single day. It's just they're not broadcast, they're not put on brochures, they're not published by DupliPack. It's just something that we hold in our heart that we get to hear from people and share with others in a very compliant way, but they are happening. So again, we need to lead ourselves first, otherwise we'll never be good leaders. And the story in this book, The Ant and the Elephant, is a story of the ant and the elephant. It's a parable that will help us all unite the powerful forces of the conscious and the subconscious to reach our peak performance as leaders. And that's what this book is about. And it's a really cute book. It's a very short read for people if you wanted to go out there and get it, but I guarantee you it will touch your lives. And I think you can order them right off of Vince's website at Be Invincible. I like that Invincible because the name is Vince. BeInvincible.com. I believe that's his website, so you can order them there. And he really gets into through a parable. He gives you the story of how you can step into your life in a most powerful way. And then the story starts, I'll just go through the story briefly, and then we'll go through, you know, some of the things that he concludes in the story. There are three characters in the story, and they all live on the savannah, okay? So they're out there on the savannah, which is a dry, grassy area, you know. And anyway, it has water places and things like that, but it's rare. Most of it's dry and grassy. And the three characters are an ant named Adir, an elephant named Elgo, and a wise owl named Brio. And you start off with the book, we start off with a scene where the ant is living in the colony. A huge storm comes along, and Adir tries to bring some clarity to, he looks around and he sees the pandemonium of all the ants, and he wants to be a leader, and he steps up and he starts yelling and screaming at the top of his lungs, trying to direct the traffic of this pandemonium happening all around him, and he's not very effective. And all of a sudden, a huge gust of wind comes by and sweeps him off of his little ant legs and tosses and turns him in the air, and he's just in this huge storm. And he ends up waking up the next day, finding himself in an unknown place, nowhere near his colony. And so he felt this emptiness of all of a sudden he lacked a mission. He was no longer going to try to help his colony. He felt lost. And he got depressed, and what was he without his colony? And he had been a leader, not a very good one. His influence had been waning a little bit, but it was impossible to inspire him now because he was now all by himself. And so here he was nowhere, and he felt, and I took it right out of the book, he said, defeated, hopeless, downright beleaguered. And I thought to myself, and as I was reading this book, I was thinking, how many people in Manitech feel that from time to time? You know, things don't go your way. You don't get the sign-ups you'd like. People are, you know, sending the product back, or you're crabby about something, or they stop ordering for some reason. They get a backlog because they didn't. I mean, there's so many things out there that we allow to rob us of our joy. And notice my languaging. We allow them to rob us of our joy because, really, people don't have control over your emotions unless you give it to them. So the idea is not to give control away of your emotional state. Joy is so much more deep-seated than the fact of somebody not liking the products or sending them back or saying no to you. I mean, you know, some will, some won't. So what? Next. And I love that. That was taught to me by John K. Lynch in his book, How to Be the Best You Can Be in MLM. But so many of us don't grab onto it. We're taught those things, but somehow it's hard to live them. And that's one of the first choices you need to make in your life, is to not let other people control your emotions, your drive and your desire. And how do you do that? Well, one of the most important steps is to get that why down. Get the reason why down. Because if you don't have the focal point right, nothing else will go right. It's kind of like putting the rudder in the sailboat, putting the rudder in. If you don't have that rudder in a sailboat, the sailboat will just go wherever the wind takes it. You'll be like a blade of grass, wobbling and wavering in the wind, whatever the breeze direction comes. You don't want to live a life like that. You want to put a stake in the ground. You want to be the rock. You want to be establish a foundation. You want to be a meaningful specific, not a meandering generality, right? Meaning, make that statement. I want to be a meaningful specific, not a meandering generality. I find that people fall into meandering generalities because they get themselves tossed and turned by what other people think of them. So, but know that having an experience around, you know, some negative emotions that come up, is that's natural, that's human, but it's how do we conquer them? The people that are successful can look at them and brush them aside and go next and move on because they know something greater is ahead of them. And they don't need to go victim, and they don't need to wallow in misery, and because none of that serves any purpose, right? So here was a deer, this little ant. He's out there, and life is, and he doesn't have his colony, and he's alone, and he's miserable, and life became a struggle just to survive. He was trying to collect food and all these things, and he kept saying to himself as a little ant, he's going, this is not a fulfilling journey. Life is supposed to be a fulfilling journey. Life is a fulfilling journey. In fact, circle that and put that in your life is a fulfilling journey. You need to have that as an opening premise of your life, opening premise. That life is a fulfilling journey. So believe that. Not that it's, you know, just struggle to survive is my life. You can choose that, but life should be a fulfilling journey. Then all of a sudden a crow came out of nowhere to poor a deer sitting here on this savanna all by himself, and he started stealing the ant's food. And then he started communicating with the ant and telling him all about this place called the Oasis. And the crow called it paradise. He said, whatever you dream of or want, it all happens in the oasis. And he gave this ant a vision, right? And the ant said to the crow, where was he headed as he was about to take off? And the crow was going, he was going to go to the oasis. And the ant asked him, you know, hey, will you show me how to get there? And the crow said, why would I do that? And he flew away. So, but the aftermath of this dealing with this crow was the idea that what was left in Adir's head, all of a sudden he had a vision. He saw this oasis, and it became an obsession to him. All Adir wanted was to be there. It meant everything would be great, paradise, no work to survive. He wouldn't have to struggle every day just to survive. He wouldn't work out of survival mode. He'd be working out of some kind of purpose mode, and life would be wonderful, and he could have, you know, he could just he could be in this oasis or this paradise. And so he had this concept. Okay, so there's our story of our aunt. That's part of the parable. So you understand where a deer is now. Now let's talk about the story of the elephant. Algo was an elephant, and he also lived in the savannah. And he was exceedingly strong, like elephants are, but very timid, if you understand. Elephants do have a timidity there. Algo's father was very pessimistic. How many of us can relate to this, maybe, in our lives? An elephant's life is tough, even when it doesn't have to be. I mean, do you see the programming going on here? An elephant's life is tough, even when it doesn't have to be. Every once in a while, Algo would allow himself to dream. This is this big elephant thinking of paradise, an oasis, but he always settled for the fact, notice in quotes, that the oasis existed only in his mind. How many of us can relate to that? That we sit back and we say, yeah, Mary Jo, I've always wanted the oasis. I wanted to be presidential in Manitech, or I wanted to have financial security. I believe I could have had this and that and all this stuff, but I've rationalized. I've allowed my head to rationalize that maybe the oasis is just something in my mind. It's not a reality for me, even though I can see it all around me. I can see other people get the presidential. I can see other people have financial security through this incredible model of network marketing, but it's just not happening for me. So it's not, I don't have an oasis here. I just, you know, so we started talking ourselves into believing things, right? And that's what the elephant was doing. And Brio was watching, that's the owl, the very intelligent owl, was watching the elephant in the air and saw him continue to follow a path away from the oasis without even knowing it. And, of course, he said, such behavior is not exclusive to elephants. The world is full of creatures that want one thing but can never seem to break the pattern of negative habits that keep them from realizing their dreams. That's a huge quote. And how many of us to fall into that? Our negative patterns, our negative habits that stop us from realizing our dreams. Well, the ant, going back to the ant, so now we have the ant and the elephant, two different places on the savannah, right? The ant started questioning, was there really, now this is what happens to us too, even when we fall in love with an idea and we believe in Oasis, we believe in presidential director, and we believe in being there and getting the financial security that would give us, what happens to us after a while thinking about it? Well, is it really a possibility? And we start putting all the roadblocks. Well, here's the reason why I can't get there, because I have this, this, this in my life. Is it really a possibility? A deer started asking, was a crow even honest? How do I know it even exists? Imagine that. He's looking at something and he doesn't know it exists. Well, some of you believe, I don't know if paradise really exists I don't know if financial security really exists for me. Would it be dangerous? Which way would I go? How do I get there? How do I even know the path? I hear a lot of people in Manitech challenging that. How do I know how to get there? How do I get the presidential? How do I make it happen? Which way would I even go? What direction do I take? What activities do I need to have in my life? And out of frustration, we finally go, is this really my destiny? So a deer was going through all this, and you and I can all relate to it. And he heard when a deer was doing this one day, he heard, so what is your destiny? And he looked around like, where is this coming from? And all of a sudden he saw the aged owl, that brilliant owl, incredibly intelligent owl appeared and said, so what is your destiny? And a deer had remembered an old adage, when the ant is ready, the owl will appear. Do we recognize that? Right? Exactly. Okay. Anyway, that's kind of a cute takeoff. So a deer expected answers, not questions, from a deer's destiny, what a deer's destiny was. So a deer started asking all sorts of questions to get those answers. And all the owl did was do one thing. He convinced the ant that he had a powerful gift, and that was the gift of the ability to talk to elephants. And we all have that gift. I want you to put an asterisk there. We all have that the gift. So the owl then took the ant under his wing and flew him to what looked like the top of a cliff. The ant was wondering where he was, to which the owl said. Okay, so remember, the owl took the ant under his wing and flew off and landed and dropped the ant on top of what looked like a cliff. And he said to the owl, he said, where am I? Where am I? And the owl said, you're on the back of an elephant, which is where you've been all your life. You just moved up towards his head. So now a deer is finding himself on top, physically on top of an elephant. And the elephant is Algo. So a deer and Algo are now attached, right? He says, the entire world is yours to discover, but you must realize you and your elephant are inseparable. So is that something we need to understand as well? And let me just read a little bit out of the book. It says, think of it this way, Adir. You and your elephant are a team. You're the conscious element, and your elephant is the subconscious element. You're the thinking, critical side of this operation, and your elephant is the engine and vehicle that power your intellectual efforts. So you are small and he is large. Your influence over him is very powerful. Therefore, it is up to you to be mindful of the messages you give your elephant. You must learn to cooperate with him and work together to reach common goals. And what is the common goal we know they both have? They both want to be in at the oasis, right? And that's where they want to go. So he says, your elephant has powers you don't have, and you have gifts your elephant doesn't have. You shouldn't think of yourselves as two separate creatures. You are a team that can either work together or act independently. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to harness the power of your elephant to reach the oasis. The choice is all yours. Just like us as human beings, we have the choice. We can harness our subconscious, right? And we can go in a direction to create the incredible results that we have chosen in our lives, or we can fight and we can be at odds and we can live a life that's out of control because we allow the elephant to go one direction and we try heading in a different direction. It's called a life of futility. And some of us feel like that's happening to us. We don't understand why we're not getting places we want to go. One of the main concepts that's holding us back is that we're not controlling and guiding the elephant. We're not understanding the incredible power of the subconscious. And remember what I told you the other day when we talked about this on the Monday call. I talked about the amazing concept of our brain. And the science shows us that each of our brains contains about 10 billion active neurons, right? Active neurons. In 1 second of thinking, our conscious state processes use about 2,000 neurons. In 1 second of thinking, our subconscious processes use about 4 billion neurons. So it truly is the ant versus the elephant. And are you going to allow the elephant to run wild in your life? That's what you've got to say to yourself. Am I going to help reprogram my elephant, right? I need to work on my elephant. So you can talk to your elephant. The elephant doesn't talk to you. The elephant really guides the path. He's the power. He's the engine. He's the 4 billion neurons. So in communicating with them, what we need to do with our subconscious is to continue to guide our subconscious, inspire it, motivate it. We need to support and empower that subconscious every day of our life. And so the ant was a little overwhelmed by all this. He was just like, why can't I just go back to my colony? How many of us exit, right? It's kind of like, I just want to go back to my other way of life. I could have done that. How many times in my first year in Manatech did I say, you know, Mary Jo, you could just hang a shingle out and you could be making six figures again. Why are you going through all this hard work? You get it? So I wanted to go back to my colony. I wanted to go back to my known. But what was that going to also do for me? It was going to do the same thing it's already done. It's going to rob me of my life. I was going to work all those crazy hours. I was going to, you know, and I wasn't going to feel fulfilled because I already knew what that was. I already knew that. But I had to go through that logic in my brain because I was going after something. It was an unknown. I believed it. I believed in Oasis. I believed the Oasis existed through Manatech. But I didn't know what it looked like, tasted like, felt like. I didn't know what it was going to be like getting there. I didn't even know sometimes question how I was going to get there. But I just believed that there was something better in life than what I had accrued to date. There is something better in life than what I had accomplished to date. So I was willing to step up and say, I'm going to change that thinking. I'm not going back to the colony. But how many of us accept the fact we go back to the colony? Right, a lot. Fall back on our known because we're fearful of the unknown. The owl said to the ant, in all of this questioning the ant was going through, he says, you will not find the oasis. In other words, you're giving up. If you go back to the known, you're giving up on the oasis. And you're also giving up on all the lessons you can learn from the ant and the elephant, right? You'll never become a great leader, but if you choose to learn, you can always work with your elephant to return to your colony if you wish. So look at it both ways. If I choose to go ahead with Manatech, if I choose to go ahead, and that was always an alternative for me too, it was like I can always, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, fall back on my legal background and hang out a shingle again. So there's really no downside. We build one to be a downside, but we really don't have one. We really build it up because we want it to be there. We want to see a cost instead of because we're fearful of the unknown. So anyway, so the deer said, okay, I'm going to work with the owl. Okay. And he said, you need to know more than the direction. You need to know the language of the elephant. So understand your elephant. Understand your subconscious. Elgo, your subconscious, will always remember everything you say and do in response to challenges and successes you encounter during your journey. So what does that mean? It means if I go ahead and I start doing something, I said, oh, I can't do that. You know what your elephant says? Your subconscious says, okay. It says, okay. It's agreeing with you. So when you feed negative language into your conscious, your subconscious is just eating that up and storing it. Okay. All right. I'm worthless. Okay. And it feeds it back. You're worthless. So in the most incredible times, you're going to hear that language generated back to you from your subconscious. So you don't ever want to feed it negativity. You don't want to feed it negative thoughts. You don't want to feed it bad habits or negative thoughts because elephants have phenomenal memories, just like your subconscious does. How many years have you been feeding that subconscious negative thoughts? You got a lot of reprogramming to do. Reprogram. Start feeding it good thoughts. Start feeding it positive things. You're going to, because that stuff is going to ooze out that came that you stored in there. So it includes bad habits, bad patterns, shaky confidence levels. All of that is in the elephant because that's what we've stored there. Elephants don't question things. They just go, that's just the way it is mentality. And out of instinct, they try to protect you. So are elephants fearless? No. Elephants tend to have more fear because they bring in your cautious side. Every time you've made a step forward and you've been cautious about something, the elephant's stored. That's a better idea. It's that little green voice you hear about, you don't want to do that, you're going to fall off the cliff. Right? Yeah, the elephant is doing that. So our concept is to make fear our friend. That's what Vince writes in the book, make fear your friend, not your master. There's a huge distinction between how your life turns out with fear as friend versus fear as master. And if your walk with the Lord, if you're biblically minded, you know, fear is the only thing the Lord wants us to fear is Him. And not fear from be afraid of, but fear from an adoration perspective. Humble, totally, incredibly humble. So we just honor Him. But we, you know, in fear, there's, you know, with perfect love, there is no fear. If that doesn't tell you, and what is our whole goal as a Christian on earth is to be Christ-like with perfect love. So we know that fear has no place in our lives. None. It really has no place in our lives. So why are we carrying fear? Why is that? Because we are succumbing to, you know, human emotion. So get rid of fear out of your life. Take fear and make it into a friend of yours. It's an acknowledgement. It's a trigger point to go, wow, what am I feeling like that for, and how do I respond to become responsive, right? So it's important for us to understand fear can really hurt us, not help us. So, and he talks about you don't know what you don't know. And it's a great thing. He says it's clear that you don't know what you don't know. It's a very useful notion that you don't know what you don't know. For example, only an hour ago, Adir didn't even know he was riding on the back of an elephant. You didn't know for every step you took in one direction, the elephant actually could have been walking in another. We need to open our minds to discover possibilities that might not seem obvious to us at the time. So critical for us to open our eyes to look at things that we might not know really exist. Things could be different. So don't let fear be your master. So, and that was critical concept and the understanding that we don't know what we don't know. And that's, and I love that. A lot of this languaging came out for me when my first Clemmer class, when I took my personal mastery. It just kind of knocked me down. It was like, and from the first time I went to my very first personal mastery, I remember when I was starting to turn people on to going, I would say, it's a course about what you don't know, you don't know. And people would look at me like, they would like be in total befuddlement over that concept, but it's really true. We need to be always green and growing and willing to grow and learn. And there are things in our that we don't know that we don't know. So there's not a mechanism of dismissing them or agreeing with them because we don't know them in the first place. Just like the fact of your neurons transmitted in your subconscious, you do 4 billion neurons every second in your subconscious and only 2,000 neurons in your conscious. That's phenomenal. That's an incredible fact we didn't know, right? So now you know it, and understand the power of that elephant. So now let's just run through, what does this mean? We need to know our whys. We need to get really clear. And he said, so Brio, the owl, was asking, a deer was asking Brio, but Brio, I know my goal. I want to get the oasis, so how come I need to know my core too? Good question, little ant, Brio said. The core is what motivates you. It's the answer to the question, what makes you feel alive? I want you to think about what you love to do most, then ask yourself why you love it. Those are great questions. What makes you feel alive? And when I answer that question for me, what makes me feel alive? It's when I'm in a negotiating session helping somebody, you know, mediate a disagreement. It's when I can contribute to somebody's life and help them have incredible health. It's when I can be a part of somebody's life, taking somebody out of a disability situation, which I'm working with right now in my foundation. I have a gal who is she's disabled. She's been on disability 11 years, never done anything. Her kids are suffering in a huge way, which is really heartfelt for me. Those are the ones I care about. I mean, they didn't even have beds to sleep on in this apartment, so I got bunk beds and everything. But I helped her believe again that she could be what she wanted to be when she was growing up. She just didn't believe it was real. She didn't know what she didn't know. And I opened her eyes to something new, a new world. So she has since started nursing school. Last week she ended up getting a job and buying a car. And this is an unbelievable process. That's what turns me on. So I have things, what makes you feel alive? What is it that makes you feel alive? And then ask yourself why you love it. And that's it's a great thing. So zero in on a goal that is the depth of meaning. The journey has to be worth taking. Any journey has to be worth taking, or what will stop you? The first thing that comes along, right? So that's why, Vince is so big about this emotional buzz, or he calls it the elephant buzz. Find the emotion that ignites the vision. Inspire your team through emotion. Never underestimate the power of emotion. What is it for? And for some of you, it might be saving those kids. That's the power of Friday night at Manifest, watching the tape from Rwanda and listening to the people and just knowing you were a part of that. You made a difference. So draft your why using all your senses. This is why we draft the concept of ideal day when we get people started in Manatech, because we want them to use all their senses, all their emotions, all their senses. You want to feel that elephant buzz. You know that you're in the right place. Imagine your vision, and that will communicate to your elephant. Because every time you have in your conscious state the vision, you put that vision in your conscious state, what is the communication going to the elephant? Exactly that. The elephant gets to feel the buzz of your vision. When you feel that, where does the buzz come from? The buzz doesn't come from the conscious state, it comes from the subconscious, right? There's that buzz that goes on, that exhilaration, that feeling of just, wow, look at, and for me, what I do whenever I feel that, like just with the effect in this gal's life, I always thank the Lord for using me as a vehicle to allow me to impact somebody's life. That is so awesome. It's just a place of gratitude, which is so powerful in our lives, a huge place of gratitude. So ask yourself, why should your vision be important to your elephant? That's a good question. That's talking to your subconscious. Okay, number 4, commit to cultivating positive dominant thoughts. And this is really important for us because we feed. Remember, we're feeding the elephant every day. Every moment we're feeding them. And whatever we feed them, what does the elephant say? okay. It's all your elephant knows how to say. It's elephant doesn't rationalize, doesn't change. Elephant just accepts what you feed it as rote. It stores it. It stores it in its memory, and it feeds it back to you. So if you want to beat up on yourself, what's your elephant going to do? It's going to beat up on you right back. All that garbage will come spewed right back at you. You wonder where some of that language comes. Oh, you can't do that. You're not good enough. Where do you think that's coming from? When you hear that voice, it's coming from a history of what you've fed your subconscious. You've got to reprogram the subconscious so that's feeding you the right stuff. Right? So you got to consistently cultivate positive, dominant thoughts in your head. So that's going to help feed that. Envision having the goal. This is a really important point. Having the goal rather than just wanting it. Wants don't work. I am presidential director, December 31st, 2013. I am. Envision it. Feel it. Live it. Breathe it. As a man thinketh, what? So is he. I love it. How about Henry Ford when he said, believe you can or believe you can't. You're always right. You're always right. Believe you can or believe you can't. You're always right. And Henry Ford totally changed the manufacture of vehicles. In fact, I was watching a great piece on the men who built America. My husband and I were watching it over the weekend. And I don't know how many of you got a chance to see it, but it was incredible about who Henry Ford was and how he fought for the people. Because we had the aristocrats were the only ones with cars. But Henry Ford came up with a way. He developed the assembly line concept. And they fought him hook, line, and sinker. They made him pay royalties. They were trying to hold him back. And he kept fighting in court until he won. I mean, wow. It was incredible. And the history behind all of that was so wonderful. There's concepts there that I never understood from my background in my history classes that were just incredible. But what shocked me about that whole series was how history repeats itself. The disparity of wealth that was so huge during the Industrial Revolution in the turn of the 20th century, right? And then we had this incredible change that took place for 50 years where wealth was now dispersed and became the middle class grew. And now what's going on today is it's going back to shrinking that again. We're going back to the turn of the 20th century in this country where there's this gigantic disparity of income that exists and the powers that be. I mean, people that are trying to control every aspect of this country, you know, with their wealth. It's amazing, but it really is amazing to watch history, but that's off the track. But back to his commit to creating positive dominant thoughts. People, we need to stay the course. We need to understand that change is gradual, and we need that the drops in the bucket is a concept I talked about the other day about dropping a blue dye in a bucket full of water, and how are you going to change the water to be all blue? If that was your goal, to make the whole bucket blue, it takes one drop at a time. You can only put one drop a day. Your efforts may take months. And it's the same thing like the slight edge. You know, we just make little changes at a time. We just one at a time. We don't see a difference today, tomorrow, a week from now. Just like if you said to me, Mary Jo, today I'm starting. I'm going to make one presentation a day. I'm going to make three presentations a day. Whatever you choose to do, you do it every day. And it doesn't matter whether you fail, whether you're successful. It doesn't matter. You do it because you know it's the right thing to do. It's the concept of daily activities. You commit to them. You do them every day. And you do it day in, day out, day in, day out. And you know what? I'll see you at presidential level. Really. It's that simple, but it's that hard because we don't want to commit. We don't want to, delayed gratification is a hard concept, but we need to do that. We need to have that consistency. And we use gold dots as reminders. And remember we talked about that too, using gold dots about our vision, to keep that vision because we keep feeding the elephant all the great information. Change is gradual. We need to have patience, and we need delayed gratification. Six was strength and confidence. Frustration leads to negative thoughts, right? So we get frustrated, we lose confidence, we don't believe things didn't happen the way they should be, and we start negative thoughts. And guess what? What does negativity lead to? More negativity. It fuels itself. And it's a pattern that destroys confidence. So you have to understand that no two thoughts, it's a law of physics. No two thoughts can occupy the mind at the same time. So we can't be confident and have no confidence. We can't live in that situation. We're either confident or we're not. So we need to replace our negative with positive, confident thoughts. We need to get rid of the negativity so that we replace it. So he talks about instituting pattern busters. Once you recognize yourself or your team playing out the pattern of negativity, interrupt this thought by saying, the minute you see it, you stop and go, thank you, but that's not part of my vision. My vision is platinum presidential or presidential director, December 31st, 2013. So when something negative happens or somebody says something, you go, thank you, but that's not part of my vision. My vision is, and you restate it. Keep that vision clear. Use that languaging in your life. Put your vision in your head and keep feeding it, and you keep feeding your elephant at the same time. Control the response to any situation. Unforeseen circumstances arise. Expect the unexpected. So absolutely. Can things happen that we totally don't see that blindside us? Absolutely. So the idea is that how do I control my response to situations? Well, I teach myself how that I'm capable of responding. And you can do that, as Vince Pacente's concept is using flashcards. So come up with some of the worst situations you've come across, perhaps in your short experience with Manatech or your long experience. If people say no to you or they tell you network marketing is this or that or whatever people might say to you, whatever stuff is out there, write it down on flashcards. Really, do 5 flashcards a day for 1 week, and it'll totally change your life. It will. 5 flashcards a day about negative things that hit you in your business. And on that, when take each of those every day, you make 5 flashcards and work with those and come up with a response to them. It doesn't necessarily have to be a verbal one. Write it down, but come up with a response. Show the strength of your will. Show the strength of what you believe. And do 5 flashcards a day for a week and watch what happens to you and your business. Your confidence will be unwavering, unwaffling. You need to build that. The only other way to drive it is to go out there and experience it when it really happens, each one of those happenings, so that you're waiting for it. But what if it doesn't? Then you live this level of lack of confidence for a long period of time, or you feel somebody threw you a loop that you weren't expecting. You know, and it's kind of like, and unexpecteds are still going to happen. But the idea is that where's the strength and where's your level of confidence? And it doesn't mean make a person wrong. This is one thing I want to clarify with everybody. When somebody comes up with an objection to you, don't make them wrong. Don't just beat up on them and tell them how wrong they are. Just say, well, that's interesting that you hold that perspective. Can you tell me where you developed that from? And do some research with them. Ask. Become inquisitive. You know, great listeners win always. And it's one of our weakest skills out there today is listening skills. So when somebody objects to something, you say, wow, where did you get that? Could you explain to me where you came to that conclusion? How did you come to that conclusion? Great. And say, well, I was just intrigued because, you know, this is my experience has been. And then I describe what my experience is. And, you know, I'm an economics undergraduate and poli-sci and went to law school. But, you know, one of the things I learned in economics that you want to cut your costs up front. And you know that Manatech or just network marketing industry is the most economical, most efficient method of distribution on the planet today because they never pay any money out until a product is actually sold. So there's not all this upfront Super Bowl Sunday advertising done. So see, I can describe it that way. And my concept of sharing my belief system isn't about convince, cajole, you know, convert. I'm just sharing with them what I know. And maybe through the educational process that I allow them to have because I don't attack them, they're capable of coming to a new understanding. And maybe not. But it's okay. Either way, it's okay. It's just an objection opens up a possibility for me to educate somebody. And that's how I look at every objection. Some will, some won't. So what next, right? So just be ready. But be prepared to be confident and be able to attack these unforeseen consequences in your life. And that's great. And he wrote that. That's part of the whole structure of the ant and the elephant making it to the oasis. And Brio's parting words in his life in the book where they were as follows. And he said, as you live your life, you'll realize the importance of living without regret over what might have been. Will you look back and wonder if you could have done more? Will you look back and question whether you gave it everything you had? if you look back and have no regrets, you'll know that you did your best, and your best can take you to places beyond your wildest expectations. So I leave those parting words. Brio, the astute owl, Mary Jo, your Monday morning call host, leave you with those words. Do not live life with regrets, but know that you have given it your all. And work on that incredible elephant, because it has so much power over your life. And unless you choose to start programming it properly, it will fight the direction that your life follows every step of the way. Okay, everybody, love you. I hope this helped. Anyone have any aha moments this morning with the ant and the elephant? And understand the importance of us feeding our elephants proper thoughts, perspectives, emotions.
Hi, Mary Jo. It's Nancy from California.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. This is exactly where I've been living, and everything they said, that's exactly the challenge. It's just those negative thoughts and coming back, programming it with the truth.
Yeah.
You know, think about that's what comes to pass, and I've seen it with our youngest son in San Francisco as he's trying to break into his massage structural bodywork business, just the challenges he's gone through and how he's come through just reprogramming that, and now that's my challenge is to reprogram. So
great.
I appreciate
great.
Everything said, and now
well,
I'm doing
lift
it.
You up in prayer. Yeah, great, good, and it's wonderful to see a son
can...
actually do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Mary Jo.
You bet, you bet, you bet.
Yeah, Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is Fred.
Hey, Fred, how are you? Are you there, Fred? I've lost you somehow. Fred, maybe you went off mute. You went back on mute?
Mary
Hello?
Jo, Mary Jo, this is Peggy from Porcupine. I'll jump in for 2 seconds while he's trying to find himself.
Are you there?
If you had just said this on Facebook.
Yeah, Fred, let's let Peggy go first because we lost you for a while, so she jumped in. Go ahead, Peggy, and then we'll do Fred.
Okay.
Go ahead.
If you had just posted this whole thing on Facebook, I would be clicking like right now. Just about
Good. Good,
okay.
Peggy. Thanks,
Fred, you
pal.
Take over now, Fred.
Okay, Mary Jo, back in 2004.
I lost you again, Fred. I don't know why. We keep losing you. It's like you're cutting in and out.
I'll call back.
Okay, thanks. We're waiting to hear from you. Anyone else? How many of you enjoyed the ant and the elephant, though? I mean, I like the concept of playing it with a parable. I think that what he's done here, Vince has done, is so good because it's fun to relate to being on the savannah with an ant and an elephant and a real life experience of, two little animals here working together. And the parable is so good. And Brio, the intelligent owl that plays this role of leading, guiding, and directing and giving some insights into the ant on how to reach the oasis. I mean, it just was really cute. It was a nice parable, easy to work with. We'll wait for Fred a minute here as he gets back on. Anyone else want to share?
Mary Jo, this is Carolyn, and I love it. Thanks for all your hard work getting it together and presenting it in such a great way.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, doll. I hear a printing machine in the background.
Yeah, Mary Jo?
There's Fred. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, back in 2004, I can remember being able to buy a set of flashcards from some organization. And I don't have them anymore. I've moved, my office and everything. Do you know where you can buy those flashcards?
You mean regarding network marketing?
Well, it was just positive statements that to really get you on the right track about life and everything. You know, it was just positive things.
I'll find them for you, Fred. I'll look it up and see what I can find, and I'll give you some. I'll send some information to you. I'll do that. Okay.
Okay, great. You can send me an email about it, or you know, whatever works for you. That's fine.
Yeah, because you're trying to do is you're using these flashcards not as concepts of you know what negativity hits you out there, but more of reprogramming your brain. Start really working on. Hey, I know that I'm coming up with these. My conscious keeps feeding me this garbage, and how do I help reprogram that? Right. Absolutely.
Right, and then every time you're looking at a flashcard, it directs you down a path of positivity instead of the negative path.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, and there's other ways, you know, there's a lot of concepts behind that, and maybe we'll do a talk on that, because there's a lot of ways to reprogram that brain of ours to think positive, because and what a difference. I mean, I find, you know, and we've all gone through it. Some people say, well, Mary Jo, but, you know, you had this kind of life. Well, trust me, being a lawyer was probably one of the, you know, has a lot of negativity around it. I mean, you're dog-eat-dog world out there. You're fighting every day. You don't even, there are times when you're in the midst of negotiations, you don't even like yourself. You find yourself, you know, I found myself on the verge of dishonesty and saying things that I really didn't mean, manipulation tactics. I mean, it was like, it was grotesque, right? And so you go down this, and you actually get trained into that negativity kind of a pathway a lot in law school and beyond. And, you know, it's the strength of your spiritual walk that helps you recover from that, hopefully, right? Or reform from that. But it's, you know, so a lot of it, you know, the stronger my spiritual walk, to me, the Lord wants, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And so the Lord wants me, He wants me to have joy every day of my life. That doesn't mean I'm always going to be happy, but joy is that deep-seated emotional sense of contentness that is just overwhelms you. And it doesn't matter what I have physically in my life. It's His presence in my life that is overwhelming. So it's like starting from that premise and saying, how can I use that to reprogram my elephant and my conscious and start living that life knowing that my Lord and Savior loves me so much that how do I be that effervescence to exhibit that and be the light in the world to show that every step of my way? And that comes from humility. It comes out of, you know, being a contributor. It comes out of just loving the life He gave me. Because I just think we don't show respect for Him if we don't love the life He gave us. I mean, He died on that cross so we could live. And then we go into depression and we go into negativity and we go, it's just like, wow, what are we suggesting to Him? You know, it's like, okay, maybe I need to shift here, right? So there's just a lot. But I'll help you with flashcards because I agree. There are a lot of, and it's not an easy thing to reprogram. And it doesn't take 5 seconds. It's something that you do every day. That's why Fred's talking about flashcards, something that supports him every day so he can pull them out and say reminders of what a blessing this life truly is. What a blessing we have, no matter where we are.
They came in a little set with a little plastic folder, like a business card size.
Mm-hmm.
And you opened this up, and they were all in this little holder, these flashcards. And they really were a day brightener because it gets you started off on the right foot. So I want to get those cards again.
Perfect. Okay, I'll look it up and I'll let you know. I'll try to find it for you. Thanks.
Thanks much, Mary Jo.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks for the suggestion. Right. Okay, you guys. Anyone else?
Oh, this is Evangeline.
Hey, Evangeline from Austin.
I have always struggled with that elephant, and now I know that he always says, okay, you know, if whatever you tell him is okay. So I'm going to be different about that. I have determined to be different. And what I think is that when he speaks to me, I will remember the verse that says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And then Paul goes on to say, put it into practice.
Yeah, amen, right? Walk it every moment, yeah. And, you know, and I'm not, And trust me, I'm not saying that that's easy. I'm just saying it needs to be part of our acknowledgement of what our goal is. We just need to continue to focus on it because it isn't easy. There's a lot of tough things out there, but it's just like the slight edge. Every day we work on it, and every day we get a little bit better. So don't think that tomorrow you're going to be perfect. Don't ever think you're ever going to be perfect, but you keep that vision in your mind of what that perfection is, and that's what holds you true to course. So that's your goal, and then every day you work on hitting that goal, and that's what will bring that trueness to purpose, trueness to that Christ-like walk, trueness to that joy and that perfection that we all so much want to be like because we know where we came from. And that's what the benefit is for the Christian walk. That's a benefit from that perspective. For those of you not, you still have that joy. You still can gain joy in your heart from being that great contribution that you can say, is this that defines my life? So it's just, you got to take a tack that allows you to step into that and be that person because truly that's the attractor factor in the world. And I'll tell you know, in this business, when you have that kind of joy, people look at you and, you know, you're going to attract people automatically because there is a lot of people out there that are quite negative. And that's why I stay away from politics. I mean, there's certain things because I see people get so angry and so ugly in areas, and I go, that's not what the Lord wants for our life. So I stay away from areas that cause all that dissension and allow myself, even if I do get involved in a discussion with somebody on issues that get to be, you know, immigration policy today, let's say, for instance, I can talk about that and come from pure joy. And you can't knock me off my socks. I just come from pure joy. But you got to stay in that instead of fighting and getting... You know, I see people get so worked up and so crazy about things that I keep going, where's the love? Everything starts with that open premise of love. And when you start from there, you don't make mistakes, really. It's just a beautiful place to start. Okay, everybody, love you all. Have a great week. And don't forget, be at Manifest. I can't wait to see all of you. And I can't wait to see you in Minnesota and Chicago. And then the weekend, I think in 2 weeks, I'm going to be heading to Austin, Texas. So, Evangeline, I'll be in your backyard. So, okay. Fun. All right, everybody, love you. Have a great week.